The fifth parak is the famous parak of Ezum Kalman. Why is it famous? So I guess for two reasons it's famous. Number one is there's no machlokas that we find in this parak, so it's an amazing thing. No machlokas, no debates in this parak. And number two is because we say this parak as part of our karbonas every morning during Shachris, at the beginning of Shachris. So what we're going to talk about in particular throughout this parak are the various places that the various stages of the avoda of the Karbanos was done, as we've been focusing on throughout our Masechta. There are four stages as it applies to the Korban in its preparation, ultimately leading to the Zrika. So number one is the Shechita. Number two is the Kabbalah, receiving the blood in a clay sharis, in a holy vessel. Number three is the Holacha, bringing that blood to the Mizbeach. And then is the Zrika, the applying of that blood. So that's what we're going to be talking about, and as it relates to various types of Korbanos. The first two Mishnayas, Mishnah Aleph, Mishnah Beis, we're going to group together because they were fairly unique, that the Zrika, that's the fourth stage of the application of the blood, was done on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. The Zrika was not done on the normal Mizbeach outside in the courtyard in the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was done on the inner Mizbeach. So that's one way it was unique. Also, we'll see that all of the meat was burnt on the Mizbeach, not on the inner Mizbeach, on other places as we'll discuss. But that was also unique to these Korbanos. So we're going to start as follows. Mishnah Aleph, Ezu, Mekom, and Shozvachim. What are the various places of the Avoda when we do the different preparatory and the stages of bringing the Korban? Where is it done? So first statement of the Mishnah is on a high level, Kodshei Kodashim Chishchita Samatzafon. Whenever we have a Korban that is Kodshei Kodashim, which is the higher level of Korbanos, that is the Ola, the Chatas, the Asham, the Shalmei Tzibor, those are not Kodshei Kalim, the lower level, but the higher level, the Shechita is done on the more sanctified side of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Tzafon, that's the north. Now we're going to start talking about specific Korbana. So we're going to start out with the par v'sa'ir shel Yom HaKippurim. The par is the bull, the sa'ir is the he-goat that were brought specifically on Yom Kippur. These were brought in order to be mechaper, in order to act as repentance on Tumash Mikdash v'kadoshav. If somebody entered into the base of Mikdash or ate Korbanos, the meat of a korban when he was tameh, indeed these two korbanos took care of those problems, acted as a kapara. One was for Klal Yisrael, one was for the Kohanim. And the Mishnah tells us when it comes to these korbanos, as we mentioned, there are four stages in the avoda of a korban. The first stage, shechita san betzafon, the shechita, the slaughtering of the animal, is done in the north part of the courtyard, v'kibol damam b'chi sharis betzafon. The next level, the next stage, is the Kabbalah of the blood, is in a kli sharis, in a sanctified vessel, was also done in the tzafon. Here the Mishnah, and throughout the parak, we won't talk about the holacha. The holacha was done from wherever you have the blood. You have to take it to its next stage. But the fourth level, the fourth stage, is the Zrika. So here, when it comes to this par and sa'ir of Yom Kippur, it was incredibly unique. What they had to do was they applied the blood in three different places. V'taman, ta'un hazaya. So here we have the Zrika, or the application of the blood on three different places. Number one, Albein Abadim, the Kohen Gadol, would go. Yom Kippur, the one day of the year that he went into the Kodesh Kedoshim, one of the times that he went in, he applied the blood of these korbanos, the par v'sayir Yom Kippur, he applied it between the poles of the Aron. So that is application number one, and it was multiple applications in there, and it's talked about in the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Yuma, Baal HaParoches, and then he also applied the blood on the curtain that was between the Heichal and the Kodesh Kedoshim, so he was on the outside and applied it a second time. And the third time, then, Val Mizbach HaZahav, he would go to the internal Mizbeach, this is the gold Mizbeach that was inside the Heichal, and he would apply it a third time. And the Mishnah continues, Mata'ana Achas Me'em Me'akaves, if he missed one of those applications, indeed, that would invalidate the Korban. They were all required, and we'll see that we will contrast that at the end of a Mishnah to something else. So Shiarei Hadam, what happens when you have leftover blood after those three applications of the blood? You have leftover blood in the Klei Sharis. Shiarei Dam Hayashofech Hayasod Maravi Shal Mizbeach Achitzon. Now the Kohen Gadol would go out to the Mizbeach Achitzon, the normal Mizbeach that's outside in the courtyard, and he would pour it literally onto the base of the Mizbeach on the western side. So there was a base on two of the four sides of the Mizbeach outside, and he applied it on the west side, And just to get into a little bit of the building of the Mizbeach, there was actually on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, there were two holes that acted as drains. One was on the western side, one was on the southern side. And what we're saying here is that this blood in particular was poured close to the hole on the western side, and the blood would then roll into that hole, and it would be drained into a water channel and taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah concludes, Im lo nasan lo ikev, however, if you didn't do this pouring of the blood, of the leftover blood, it contrasts to the three applications that we had already, that we said if you missed any of them, then it would be ma'akev, or any part of them, they would be ma'akev, it would invalidate it. Here, if you didn't, in the end of the day, pour the leftover blood onto the western side of the Mizbeach, onto the base of the Mizbeach, next to that western hole, that would not invalidate this korban. Mishnah Beis continues to discuss our unique korbanos, those that had zrika applied, the application of the blood done on the internal Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaZahav, inside the Heichal, and also that they had their meat fully burned. So Mishnah Beis says as follows, Pari mani srafim, usi'iri mani srafim. These are talked about bulls that are fully burnt, or the seir, the he-goats that are fully burnt. And what this is talking about is one of three different types of korbanos. We're not going to go through the detail, but just on a high level, the first one is a par helam davar of the tzibor. So this is brought when the Sanhedrin made a terrible mistake. They permitted something that typically would somebody who did it would be chayav karis, would receive the penalty of karis. They permitted it, and the majority of Klal Yisrael indeed followed suit and acted on the Sanhedrin, what the Sanhedrin paskin. So here the par helam davar is brought. It's a bull offering. And that's a form of a korban chatas. The second example of these parim anisrafim, usim anisrafim, is when the Sanhedrin, again, very similar, make a mistake, and they permitted idolatry that indeed would also bring on the penalty of kares. And the majority of Klal Yisrael followed suit, and they figured out they made a mistake. So this would be the seir of Arasara would be brought. So indeed, this seir, both this goat and a bull would be brought for these korbanos. So that's example number two. And number three of when we're talking about these korbanos of parim anisrafim, usirim anisrafim, is the par kohen mashiach. Somewhat similar. It's not when the Sanhedrin made a mistake, but indeed when the Kohen Gadol made a mistake, and the mistake related to something that he would be chayev karis for, but it was a mistake. And he actually did it. He acted upon his own psak, and then they figured out he made a mistake, so he would bring the par kohen mashiach. So when it comes to these korbanos, the Mishnah Beis says from the beginning, pari manisrafim, usim manisrafim, these are kodshei kodashim again. So the shchita, that's first phase of bringing the korban, shchita san betzaf, when the shchita, the slaughtering is done in the northern part of the Azara, and the Kabbalah next, v'kibol daman b'chli sharis betzaf, and just as we saw in the prior Mishnah, the Kabbalah is also done into Kli Sharis in the northern part. And we're going to skip the Holacha. We'll go straight to the Zrika, the application of the blood. So it's phase number four of bringing the Korban. Bidaman Taun Hazaya. We have to apply the blood similar to the prior Mishnah, but a little bit different, as we'll see. V'daman taun hazaya al haporoches v'al mizbach hazahav. It's not that we have three applications, starting with in the kodshei kodashim, and then on the curtain, and then on the mizeach pnimi, but rather we just have two of the three. When it comes to the parim anisrafim, usrim anisrafim, there's no application of the blood inside the kodesh kodashim, but rather there is an application, the first application, there are two applications, not three. We do it on the paroches, and also we do it on the mizbach hazahav. And then, just as we saw in the prior Mishnah, matanachas mehen me'akaves. If you don't do one of those applications of the blood, indeed it will invalidate the korban. And just as we saw in the prior Mishnah, shiarei hadam, what excess blood that you have left in the klei sharis, hayashofech hayasod maravish al mizbeach hayitzon, you would apply it to the western side, on the southwestern corner of the mizbeach, you would apply it on the western side, so it would go into the western hole, im lo nasan la'ekev. And again, as we said before, if indeed you didn't do this application of the blood, the pouring of the blood onto the western side, it will not invalidate the korban. Elu ve'elu nisrafim bebeis hadashen. This is referring, elu ve'elu is talking about the korbanos that we discussed in Mishnah Aleph, and also the korbanos that we discussed in Mishnah Beis. The meat of these korbanos were burnt in what was called the Beis Hadasha, and that is a place that they used to take all of the ashes from the Mizbeach and put it out there. It's outside of Yerushalayim. Also here, what they would do, it's not only the storage place for the Deshen, but also they would take out the meat of these offerings from Mishnah Aleph, Mishnah Beis, and these offerings indeed would be burnt totally out there in the Beis Hadashen. Mishnah Gimel continues our discussion of various sin offerings, chatas. However, in contrast to the first two Mishnayos, where we talked about types of chatos, that the zrika was done on the Mizbeach inside the Heichal, we're now moving outside, where the zrika was done on the Mizbeach in the Azor, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So chatos at Tzibra Ve'ach, we're talking about various types of sin offerings of the Tzibra brought on behalf of all Klal Yisrael, brought by individuals. And now we're going to list out Eluhen chatos at Tzibra. When we're talking about these chatos that were brought for the Tzibor, we are specifically talking about the Seirei Roshei Chodashim Veshel Moados, the Seirim, the Higots that were brought on Rosh Chodesh, and the holidays. These were brought as part of the Musaf service in the Beis HaMikdash. And now we're going to go through our steps again, the various phases, Shechitas and Betzafon. Number one, the Shechita is done in the Tzafon, because these are Kodshei Kodashim, so it's done in the northern part of the Azara. Number two, Mikibul Daman Bechli Sharis Betzafon. Also, the Kabbalah of the Dam is done in a Kli Sharis and the Tzafon, and then you have the Holacha, bring it from there to the Mizbeach. And now we're going not inside to the Mizbeach HaPdimi, as we mentioned, but we're going to the Mizbeach that is outside. And now we're going to talk about the Zrika. So that's stage number four. V'daman taun arba matanos al arba kranos. The Zrika, that's the application of the blood, is done with four different matanas. That means there is one application of blood on each of the four corners of the Mizbeach. Now, on the top of the Mizbeach, it's called here al arba kranos, on the four horns. They look like cubes. They were an amma by an amma by an amma. So there were four cubes, one on each of the corners of the Mizbeach, on the top of the Mizbeach, and there was an application, one application of blood, a zrika, on each of those corners. And now we're going to explain ketzad. So how did you go up the main ramp of the Mizbeach and go and apply the blood? So just a little bit about the building of the Mizbeach. So there was a ramp. There was a, we'll call it the main ramp to get to the top of the Mizbeach. But in addition, there was a smaller ramp that was used to get to an area, a lip that stuck out and went around the Mizbeach. So just structurally, the lip that stuck out was called the Sovev, and the Kohen could walk around his Mizbeach on that Sovev, which was six amos above ground. So there was from the ground up to the Sovev, six amos, and then there was another 3 to 4 amos above that for the Mizbeach. Why 3 to 4? Because really three to the top of the Mizbeach, but if we're including those cubes, those kranos, the horns on the side, on the corners, then it was 4 more, for a total of 10 high from the floor all the way up to the top of the keren of the kranos on the Mizbeach. So what the Kohen would do accordingly was, when he would go up and he wanted to go apply the blood on the for these karbonos, these chataos, he would go partially up the main ramp, and then the small ramp was like a breakaway that led not to the top of the Mizbeach, but to that Sovev that went around the Mizbeach. It was, again, an amma thick, and he would go around, and from that Sovev, he's standing on that Sovev, he would reach up, and he would apply these blood to do the Zrika on each of the four corners going around the Mizbeach. And it went as follows, Ketzad Ala Bekevesh, Ufana Lesov. He went up to the Kevesh, but only partway on the main ramp. Then he had the breakaway onto the small ramp. It took him to the Sovev, going around. And then Uvalo Lekeren Dromit Mizrachis. The first corner that he got to on the Mizbeach was the southeastern corner, and he applied the blood. One application, and then he went Mizrachis Tzvonis. He continued going around to the northeast corner, the Tzvonis Maravis, the northwestern corner, Maravis Tzvonis, the southwestern corner, going around, applying at each stop one application of the blood on each of those kranos, on each of those cubes at the top of the Mizbeach, on the corner. Shiarei Hadam. And what did he do with the leftover blood from that? Shiarei Hadam Hayashof HaChayasod Dromi. He would go down the Kavish, he would go down to the bottom of the Mizbeach, and he applied it to the Yesod, which we've talked about before. That was the base that went around part of the Mizbeach, and it was on the southwestern side with two holes. And before, we talked about pouring in Mishnah Aleph, Mishnah Beis, he poured the excess blood into the western of those two holes. So now, because he gets to the dromi, he gets to the southern hole first, he's going to put it down the southern. He's going to pour it on the yesod, on the southern side, near the southern one of those drain holes, and it's going to go down into that drain. And now we're going to conclude by talking about who gets to eat the meat of these korban chata. So it goes as follows: v'nechalim lifnim min hakalayim, the location of where it's eaten. It's eating inside, literally inside the curtains, which means in the courtyard of the mizbeach. Nezichrei chuna to the male kohanim b'chol machal, and they cook it as they desire. You want to bake it, bake it. You want to broil it, broil it. This is in contrast to the korban pesach that could only be broiled. This, or roasted. This could be broiled, basted, as you desire to cook it. You can enjoy as you desire, and it's eaten liyom v'layla ad chatzos. It's eaten for that day that korban chatas is brought, and the night thereafterward on a d'oraisa level, it could be eaten the entire night. And after that night, whatever's left over is called nosar, leftover meat outside the allotted time that you're allowed to eat it, and it has to be burned. However, it says here it was eaten liyom v'layla ad chatzos, only up until midpoint of that night. So chatzos halayla. And that was because on a rabbinic level, not a deraisa, as we mentioned, deraisa level, you can eat it all night. On a rabbinic level, Chazal were concerned about various mitzvahs, as talked about at the beginning of Maseches Brachos, various mitzvahs that people would come and be lazy and they wouldn't be paying attention if they had all night and they'd go to sleep, and unfortunately the meat would not be eaten. And we have concerns about other mitzvahs like Kriya Shema Shalayla, even though you can say it all night, but Chazal said you should say it by Chatzos HaLayla, say it by Halachic midnight, because of the concern that somebody may say, I have the entire night to do it, what's the rush? They'll go to sleep and they'll wake up and it will be past the allotted time. So that's why here, so too, the eating of the meat was allowed on a rabbinic level. They were stricter only until Chatzos. Mishnah Dalet continues discussing the Kodshei Kodashim Korbanos, those on the higher level, Ha'ola. Now we're going from having spoken about the Chataos, the sin offerings, to the Korban Ola. And the Ola's difference is that the entire thing is burnt fully on the Mizbeach. And here's on the Mizbeach HaChitzoni that we're going to have not only the burning, but also the application of the blood, so the Zerika as well. So we'll see as follows. It's going to initially sound very familiar, identical to what we've been seeing, and then we'll have some differences because it's a Korban Ola. Ha'ola Kodshei Kodashim. The Ola is also categorized as Kodshei Kodashim. And then, accordingly, Shchita Sabat Tzafon, the Shchita, just like the Korbanos that we spoke about previously, the Shchita is done in the Tzafon, in the northern part of the courtyard. That is phase number one of the preparation of the Korban. Number two, Vikibol Dama Bichli Sharis Betzafon, the Kabbalah as well. Into the Klisharis is in the northern area, and then you have the Holacha, that's the third phase, not mentioned in the Mishnah. And number four is the Zerika, and here it's going to be different from what we've seen. V'daman ta'un shtei matanos shen arba, the dam, the Zerika, requires two applications, two spritzes on the Mizbeach, so on two different corners of the Mizbeach, but that is four. So what that means is as follows, that the Kohen would actually go to two opposite corners. He went to the northeast corner of the Mizbeach and the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, and he applied the blood one time initially onto the corner, and that would split onto two walls. So when he was applying it on the northeastern corner, part of the blood would go on the north side of the Mizbeach, part of it would go on the eastern side, and then he would go to the other side of the Mizbeach on the southwestern corner, apply the blood, a second Zerika on that corner, and part would go on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and some would go on the western wall of the Mizbeach. Utu'una, because we're talking about a Korban Ola, what you had to do to prepare it now is as follows. Hepshet, you used to skin. The Kohanim would skin the Korban. The hide actually went to the Kohanim, but the rest of it was burned. So accordingly, after you've taken off the skin, v'nituach, literally surgery, nowadays we call it nituach a surgery, it means cutting the Korban into pieces, and then v'chalil la'ishim, it was burnt fully on the Mizbeach. Mishnah completes our discussion of the Kodshei Kodashim. Starting in Mishnah Vav, we'll start talking about the Korbanos that are classified as Kodshei Kalim. So when it comes to Mishnah, we have two categories that we're going to discuss. The last two categories of Kodshei Kodashim. One is the Shalmei Tzibor. That's how the Mishnah starts out. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor. Those are two lambs that were brought on Shavuos together with the Shtei Halechem. These, interestingly, are the only shlamim offerings that were brought on behalf of the tzibur, they're the only ones that are kodshei kodashim. The rest of the shlamim offerings are going to be kodshei kalim. And so we're talking zivchei shalmi tzibur va'ashamas, the ashamas offerings. What are those? So the Mishnah spells it out for us. Elu hen ashamas. These are the six types of korbanos that are categorized as the asham offering. Number one is asham gezelos. If somebody indeed had money of somebody else, for example, he had money that he received as a loan, and he swore that he doesn't owe it. So, for example, A lent money to B, and B claims, you never lent me anything. I don't have your money for whatever reason, and it was a lie. And B thereafter admits that he lied. He has to bring an asham gezelos. So that's number one. Number two is asham mi'ilos. This is somebody who, by mistake, wasn't intentionally used a item of hektesh, that's a sacred item, for his own personal benefit, not for the on behalf of the Beis Hamikdash, so has to bring, that's called mi'ila. Mi'ila is using something that is sacred for personal purposes, so he has to bring an asham. Number three is asham shifcha harufa. This one is a little bit more complicated. It's a man who commits a sin with a Canaanite slave, a woman Canaanite slave. She's actually half of a slave, she's half free, and she was married, was taken as a wife by a Jewish slave as well, Jewish servant. And somebody else commits an immoral act with her. So that's number three. That person has to bring an asham. Asham nazir. A nazir who becomes tameh from coming into contact with a dead body. He made a commitment, a nazir, to not become tameh, and he did. So he has to bring the korban asham. Asham metzora, as part of the purification process of a metzora, he brings a korban asham to become tahor. And asham taloi is a kind of a sin offering. It's when somebody may, but not definitively, he may have done something that would be punishable with kares or the bringing of a korban chatas, but doesn't know for sure if he committed the sin. Accordingly, an asham taloi, it's an asham of doubt, it's hanging, you're left hanging because you don't know for sure if you committed the sin or not, so an asham taloi is brought. So for all of these korbanos, again, the two categories, the shalmi tzibur and the shamas, these are the requirements. Again, it's going to sound very similar to what we've been seeing. We are again talking kodshei kodashim. So accordingly, shchita sambatzafo. Number one is the shchita is in the northern part of the courtyard. Then number two, the kabbalah, v'kibol damam b'chli sharis betzafon as well. We receive the blood right after the shchita and the kli sharis in the northern area. And then you have the holacha to where you need to go to the mizbeach with the blood. And then number four is the zrika. So how do we do the zrika? V'daman ta'un shtei matanos en arba, just like we saw in the prior Mishnah, that it's applied on two corners of the Mizbeach, and it splits in two, so it's on all four sides of the Mizbeach, so that's how this Rika is done as well. V'nachalim lifnim mina kalayim, and eating of it, it indeed has to be eaten literally within the curtains, that means in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's kodshei kodashim. We will contrast that later to kodshei kalim, that you can eat it also outside of that area. Lezichre chuna, and these korbanos, the meat is eaten by male kohani, b'chol machal. They can cook it as they will. They don't have to treat it like a korban pesach, that it's only roasted. So however they want to cook it, go ahead, b'chol machal. Then they can eat it liyom v'layla ad chatzos, for that day that the korban is brought, the night thereafterward, on a d'orais level, they can eat it the entire night. But Chazal were machmir on this, concerned that it would not be eaten if you give people all night. Then they'll go to sleep, and it's going to be the next morning, and you have all this meat that wasn't eaten. Accordingly, Chazal said, you are required to, on a rabbinic level, only eat the meat from these korbanos up until midnight, halachic midnight, which was chatzos. Mishnah Vav begins our discussion of the kodshei kalim korbanos. Mishnah Vav says as follows, hatoda, the korban toda, this was brought by somebody who is in a serious danger. The mnemonic for it, based on a Gemara, is that there are four categories, so they're Rishonim to bring the following mnemonic. It's Chaim. Chaim stands for Ches is Chole, somebody who was seriously ill. Yud stands for Yam, somebody who traveled through the sea. And another Yud, Yisurim, would reflect somebody who was in the pain of being in jail. And Mem is Midbar, somebody who traveled through the desert. would bring a korban todah. So hatodah chol, and also another beautiful thing is the chol hachayim. When we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, chol hachayim yudu chasela, anyone who is chayim, anyone who's alive, literally should give hodah, thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here we're saying chayim ches yud yud yomem is those four categories of people. So they bring a korban todah when we are the base of mikdash, the el nazir and the ram that is brought by a nazir at the end of his successful nazirah. So now he's going through the final process at the end of ending up his nirus neder, his commitment. Those are kodshe kalim. Those are categorized as kodshe kalim, and accordingly, we're going to be a little bit more flexible in the requirements that we've been discussing. So accordingly, number one is the shechita, shechita san v'chol makom v'azara. You can do the shechita anywhere you desire in the azara, in the courtyard. It doesn't have to be limited to the northern part of it. In addition, it doesn't mention in the Mishnah, but the Kabbalah is going to be wherever you do the shechita, so it doesn't have to be in the northern part. We're going to have the holacha as well, bringing the blood to the mizbeach. Number four, we're going to talk about the zrika. So the zrika, as we've seen in the past, v'daman taun shtei matanosh en arba, the dam, we're going to apply that blood, the coin's going to apply the blood on the mizbeach, outside mizbeach, on two different corners, the northeast corner and the southwest corner, and it's going to go onto the four sides of the Mizbeach. And now we're going to talk about where is it eaten and by whom is it eaten, limitations on the eating. So it says as follows, the meat from the korban, the nechalim b'choleir, can be eaten throughout the entire city. That means the old city of Yerushalayim, everything inside the wall, would be an area that would be permitted to eat it. We're not talking about kodshei kodashim anymore that have to be only eaten in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about kodshei kalim. So we're more lenient with where you can do the shechita throughout the Azara. We're more lenient where you do the Kabbalah. And we're also more lenient about the eating can be done b'chol ha'ir in the entire city. And in addition, it's not only the Kohanim that are eating it, l'chol adam, anyone can eat it, even a non-Kohen can eat it, b'chol machal, you can prepare it, you can cook it as you desire, l'yom v'layla at chatzos, and in addition, it's eaten for that day that the korban was brought, that night up until chatzos. Now, when it comes to these korbanos, there were certain portions that were designated for the Kohanim. So, for example, the chest of the animal, the meat from the chest and the thigh, those were designated for the korb, for the Kohanim. So it says, Hamorem mehem kiotzebehem. Those portions that were removed and given to the Kohen, they were treated the same. What does that mean? They were treated the same. So the Bar Tanur explains to us that it was eaten throughout the city, the entire day, that night, afterward as well. So in other words, we're dividing up the korban. Some of it is going to go to the owners who brought it. That's what we talked about before. And that's l'chol adam. And the certain designated portions for the coin, they also have to be eaten within the confines of the city and only up until that day in the nighttime. But there is a difference when it comes to those additional parts given to the kohanim. Ela sha'amorem ne'echal l'kohanim. Those targeted portions that are given to the kohen, they can be eaten by the kohenim themselves, lin shem, their wives, livneim, and their children, lavdeim, and also their Canaanite slaves can eat those portions as well. Mishnah Zayin continues our discussion of the kodshei kalim, and now we're going to talk about the shlamim as follows. Shlamim kodshei kalim, shlamim as well as kodshei kalim. Now it's going to sound just like the prior Mishnah that we had, shechita san b'chol makom v'azara. When we do the shechita, it can be done throughout the entire azara, and then you do the kabbalah and holacha, and then we do the zrika at the mizbeach. And now continues the Mishnah, v'daman ta'un shtei matanosh en arba. When you do the zrika, again, it's done just like in the prior Mishnah on the northeast and southwest corners of the mizbeach, and it goes onto all four sides of the mizbeach. The nechalim b'chol ha'ir, and the owners of those korbanos, they can eat it throughout the wall, within the wall of the city, and throughout the city, lechol adam, it can be eaten even by non-kohanim, b'chol machal, it can be eaten, and any way you want to cook it. Here's one little difference from the prior mission. It says, neshnei yamim v'layla achad, it wasn't only for that day that the korban was brought and the night thereafter, but when it comes to shlamim, it's eaten for 2 days. So in other words, the day that the korban is brought, the night thereafter, and the second day. So the shlamim meat can be eaten 2 days and the one night in between them. And now we're going to complete the Mishnah as we saw in the prior Mishnah, that there were certain parts that were designated for the Kohanim. We're now talking specifically a bit about the chest and the thigh. One of the thighs, so hamorem mehem kiotzebehem. So we would treat the designated portions given to the Kohanim, just like we discussed before, that it's eaten throughout the entire city, and it's only eaten for 2 days and the night between them. But the difference is between the parts, the other meat that was given to everyone else, and these designated meats, the chest and the thigh, Ela Shamarem Nechal Kohanim, these designated parts are eaten by the Kohanim, but not only the Kohanim, Ninshem, their wives, Vlivnaim, their children, Ula Avdeim, and their Canaanite slaves as well. Mishnah Ches discusses three additional types of Kodshei Kalim. The first one is HaBechor. Bechor is a firstborn male animal. It's going to be either a cow or a goat or a sheep, and it was given to the Kohen, who would bring it as a korban, and he'd be able to eat the meat. So that's the Bechor. VaHaMaaser. Maaser is talking about Maaser Behema. That is, if somebody has animals that are born, we're talking also about the three types of same animals, cows, goats, and sheep. During a given year, he has to take off every tenth one. That's the word ma'aser, one in ten, and brings that as a korban. And the korban Pesach is the third one that we're going to be talking about, brought on Erev Pesach. Kodshei Kalim, all three of these, the Bechor, the Ma'aser, and the Pesach, are Kodshei Kalim. And now we're going to discuss how they are similar and how they are different. So initially we'll talk about the similarities between the three of those. All three of them, Shechita, San, B'chol Makom, B'Azor, because they're Kodshei Kalim, the Shechita is done throughout the Azor, throughout the courtyard. And then after the Shechita, as we've seen, but not mentioned by the Mishnah, we do the Kabbalah and then the Holacha. And then the fourth stage is where we pick up in our Mishnah, the Zrika. V'daman ta'un matana achas. Here the dam, the blood, is only spritzed one time, not two or not four. It is one time on the Mizbeach, and the location, Mivad Shi'iten Kenegar Yesod, but the condition is, the Zrika is done on the Mizbeach, but above the Yesod. The Yesod was the base that we've talked about before, that went around the Mizbeach. It didn't go around the entire Mizbeach. It was on the entire north and west sides of the Mizbeach. But on the south and east sides of the Mizbeach, very little of the Yesod was there. Only one Amma of the Yesod covered those two sides, the south and the east. So you'd have to find a place to do the Zrika above where there is a Yesod. So those are the similarities between the three Korbanos that we're talking about. But where they differed is how they are eaten. Shina ba'achilasan. These three are different in the eating of them. So when it comes to the Bechor, HaBechor Ne'echal LeKohanim, as we mentioned before, the Bechor is given to the Kohen, those firstborn animals, given to the Kohen. He brings it as a korban, and he gets to eat the meat of those korbanos. So that's the Bechor. V'haMa'aser, the Maser Behema, none of it is giving to the Kohen. That's L'chol Adam, anyone who brings their Maser Behema, brings it as a korban in the base of Mikdash, he eats it, and his guests eat it as well. And when it comes to the Bechor and the Maser, V'ne'achalim B'chol Ha'ir, they are eaten throughout the entire old city of Yerushalayim, that is Yerushalayim, the chol ma'achal, cook it as you desire, and it's eaten for how long? L'shnei yamim v'layla echa, just like the korban shlamim we saw in the prior Mishnah, you eat it for 2 days, the day you bring the korban, the night thereafterward, and the second day. And HaPesach, the third of them, that's different in a number of ways. HaPesach, when it comes to the eating of the Pesach, Eino Nechal Ela Balayla, the Korban Pesach can only be eaten that night, meaning that first night of Pesach, the Lel HaSeder, so it's eaten that night. Eino Nechal Ela Ad Chatzos. In addition, it's not the whole night, it can only be eaten up until Chatzos. Eino Nechal Ela Menuyav. And also, there's a requirement to the Korban Pesach that you have to register, you make a partnership together on the Korban together, so only those who are registered and agreed to eat together that korban, can they eat from the meat of the korban pesach? And also, as we know, the korban pesach can only be eaten roasted. We don't have the flexibility to cook the meat, bake the meat in other ways. It has to be only via roasting on a fire.